Good morning, I want to say. As well, if I start to sleep a little bit down here, it's because I was so awake until 2 o'clock in the middle of the night talking to a Muslim about the Trinity. But I'm feeling a little bit tired today. But I hope that you don't badly have to suffer because of it. Because of the consequences of nightly discussions. But it was a lovely discussion. It was a very good conversation, and I think two people met and then actually got to learn about each other. Today I wish to read from the Bible scripture. If you are Christian, you have most likely heard this before. If you've gone to church a few times, you have probably heard this. And that might sometimes feel a little bit vaccinated, a little not feel as strongly about this word, because we've heard it so many times. If you're not used to church, this might be a little bit supposed to be like a cannonball. This is what Jesus says, because it's what Jesus says, something that is absolutely crazy that a normal person would never walk around and say. If I lived my life like a normal everyday person about 30 years old and then started saying stuff like Jesus has said about himself, people think he's absolutely psychotic, absolutely crazy. But it's one of those Bible verses we're going to read together. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And Jesus says like this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is not standing here and say, "Look to God, pray a little more, then you will get peace in your souls." No, come to me. Come to me. Follow me. Let me be your teacher. So I will give you peace for your souls. I will give you rest. I could use this Bible word and then start talking about the importance of taking it easy. The importance of taking the weekend off and don't talk to have your phone on all the time. And that you're... Go to sauna a little more often. Or all the Finns are like, "Yeah, we can do that." But that's not what it's about. I could talk about all of the things about, yeah, it's good for rest and relaxation. It's important with some prayer and some stillness. And it's not important, like we don't need to stress so much. Go off the grid. All these popular things that are preached both in Christian and in secular society today. Because we are quite stressed and crazy world today. And the... Internet doesn't help either. I could keep a sermon about that, but I don't believe that this is what these verses talk about. This text is not about a rest that you and I can make and create for ourselves. It's good to rest a little bit and keep away from your phone and keep your holy day. That's good. we are supposed to work 6 days and rest the seventh. We need all that. God knows this. It's not wrong, but this is not what Jesus talks about. Jesus talks about a different type of rest, a more deeper kind of peace, because this is not what we need to do to have some rest in our soul. This is about a peace in our souls that just Jesus can give to us. So that only Jesus can provide to us. And we are not going to believe that this text is about, if you go to Jesus, if you become a Christian, everything is going to be simple and easy and lovely. Like you can just dance on the roses that all the thorns have been removed from. I've never understood the dancing on roses, and it's very thorny. It probably hurt a lot. But Jesus talks about, he says, he doesn't say that life going to be easy for you. A few chapters before, in chapter 8, verses 20, that the foxes have their homes, holes, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lie down his head. It's not like you're just following Jesus. It's going to be action. It's going to be, Jesus sees through this person and says, it's not going to be easy. We're not going to sleep at the hotels, at five-star hotels. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to be that I'm going to put you to bed with a nice duvet and pillow like your mom does. The foxes, the birds, they have places to sleep, but the human son, he does not. If you're going to follow me, this world is no longer your home. It's a lot of Bible that talks about following Jesus that will lead to hatred and being followed, that the world will hate you. That's the call to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. That is a calling to die with him. Take your cross. So that's not what he says either in this text. Come to me and everything will be cozy. We are working men. We are filled of stress and anxiety. It's in the Bible, it says it's good for a young man to carry a lot of burdens in his life. It's good for us to sometimes get burdens so we can grow and allow to grow in ourselves. But Jesus talks about, come to me, all you who are very unburdened, and I will give you rest. Yes, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I will allow. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He talks about this deep-seated peace that only he can give us. There was one of these texts in the songs we were singing before. It doesn't make sense. Something. I have peace that makes no sense. A peace which says in a lot of places in the New Testament that goes over our own understanding. That doesn't mean problems are just gone, but it means that we have a peace in our very bones, in the very depths of our lives, that Jesus can give us. This is something we have to stand with for a while, stop it for a while, and think in ourselves, do we possess this peace? Do we have this peace? Is this rest actually in me now? when we are at the very rock bottom of our lives, is the peace there? I think that Jesus talks about, in the first things, is to talk to the Jews, to the religion, people who follow religion. First and foremost, he talks about the rest. That the peace from trying to actually make your own salvation. You're allowed to rest from trying to please God through your own power. You're allowed to trying to becoming justification and trying to make yourself better all the time. People are really good at justifying everything. We know, we want to look so good. We want to outwardly have something to give. We want to be able to have be righteous in ourselves. And not least of all, we it's very easy that it comes between us and God, in our relationship with God. This is one of the big differences between Christian faith and so many other ways of religion and ways of looking at life. This night when I was talking to this Muslim brother, a very lovely man, so interesting, but it became very, very, very clear that we had so many things in common, but what is truly dividing us, and that is that we don't have to work. That it's about Jesus. I believe Jesus have died for me. I believe that Jesus have paid that price for me, that I can't pay. I believe that God himself have climbed down, become human, and died for me. And that is totally crazy. It's absolute insanity. We have lived 2,000 years of Christianity, so we're like, oh, that's whatever. But that day when Jesus lived, that was insanity. That God that climbs down, becomes a pathetic little disgusting human. The Greeks are disgusting. That God jumps into a meat body and then goes and dies. How insanely stupid that is. But that is what we believe in. That God loved us that much, that he became flesh, that he wants to go and die for us. He literally he completely messes up the system that tries to give us shame and give us the blame. He takes all of it, and that becomes a little simplified. But that the picture of we believe in a God who climbs down and gets us to him, instead that we are trying to climb up to God, that we're going to deserve God's mercy, somehow deserve him. But even if we know this, we are still easily falling into the pit of justification. When I was a new Christian, I became a youth pastor, even though I probably should have walked with the Lord a little longer. But I was a youth pastor. We were at some New Year's conference in Stockholm, and I was new and full of fire for Jesus and amen and hallelujah and kind of like that. Now, I thought I had a period where I was going to pray for sick people a lot. I mean, that's something you still can do, but I had a very training wheels on about that time. When I was walking in Stockholm, a person walked towards me. I feel how a thought reaches me, a God thought. Yeah, if you don't know what I'm talking about, probably haven't heard that, but I didn't hear voices, but sometimes I do believe God gives us a picture. And God said, ask if you can pray for this person. And I became terrified and just closed my ears for probably was God and just walked past like, no, I'm not gonna. And afterwards, I got really, like, a really bad conscience. I've gone against God, what he's told me. I'm supposed to be a youth pastor. I'm supposed to not fail. And I failed like this. I felt so bad, like a bad Christian. And I thought like this. Now, I'm going to muster up some power. What do you say? I'm trying to get some power and I was like, send another one. I'm gonna get this one. if you send another sick person, I'll heal them. And that is when God was giving me a lecture. And it probably good that I was, that I God said, God told me, Simon, you can't compensate for your disobedience. You can't compensate trying to do a few good things afterwards for like weighing up the other things you've done. You can't compensate for any sin that you make. There's only one thing, and that's the forgiveness on the cross. And you're allowed to obey me the next time I'm telling you to, but don't try to pay me. Don't try to compensate yourself. Don't try to serve and save your own soul, because that is not that impresses me. Jesus wants to give us this rest in him, so that in everything in life, in work and in the yokes we carry and all the things in life, in the middle of stress and you actually are feeling bad and you're mentally or physically or economically in a bad place, God, Jesus wants to give us a deep rest. Something to rest in. This is not a feeling. It's about a faith, a deep belief in his perfected mission, that he is the one who carries, that he has done what's needed for us. And to be allowed to rest this, in the complete perfection of his work. There's only one source to this rest, and it's the cross. It's Jesus himself. To look at him, to have faith in him, to stop trying to somehow give yourself, you know, have faith in yourself and throw yourself at him and then follow him and with happiness, obedience and everything follow him. When you're allowed into this rest, it's a secret. When you're allowed into this, you are completely freed to then serve others in his name. When you are released from these bounds of that we have to perform to God, that we have to be better for God, then all that energy that you're putting to impress a God who knows who you are can just go to give with love to people, because you're not kind just because you're Auntie Gretel that is getting... You're not going to love Auntie Gretel just to get an extra gold star in heaven, but because you actually love her. Yeah, there's a freedom to be able to work for God. But if you work for God because it's a stress or anxiety in your soul, because you haven't reached this rest, then it's dangerous. Then as a Christian, you probably should sit down in a chair and say, maybe you can fix this, make me understand. Instead of making yourself more, you need to be, you feel like you need to do something, because or else you will be a bad Christian. So that's the second title. You probably haven't noticed that I'm doing titles, but I'm doing titles. This is the third one. The third thing I want to talk about is that Jesus do something in these verses is that he's keeping together rest and mercy with following him. We have a hard time. We want to separate them. If I'm from Sweden, so I'm allowed to go around a little bit. There is certain churches. I grew up in free churches in Sweden, and I many times feel like they are putting emphasis on following God and discipleship, and so the discipleship is almost too much emphasized. It's how you are supposed to do things. So sometimes it feels like you have to somehow be a disciple. It becomes easily that it is a burden on people being put by the church. But then I've actually gone to the Lutheran church. There you're so scared for discipleship that you completely do everything to get away from it. So it becomes kind of a lot of mercy, but the mercy is so skin deep. It doesn't go deep. You just say you're forgiven, and then you sin, and then you get justice, and then you have to wait until heaven until you actually get discipleship. It's easy to end up in these two ditches, but Jesus talks in these verses about both of them. Both a radical love and mercy, without one second thinking, he completely goes for radical discipleship. Jesus is great at pushing it all our funny bones and buttons that we feel uncomfortable with, but it's very freeing. This is something we have to learn as Christians, as churches, to learn with mercy in God and rest in God, but also discipleship. To rest in the soul, in his fulfilled work, but he also says, come to me. Which is an echo of what he says in the beginning of the in Matthew 4. Matthew 4:19. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. So that is the call to follow him, to leave something behind, to go with Jesus. He says, take my yoke. What is a yoke? Well, it is, you've seen these two oxen, the pictures, and then there's this yoke over them. It's something you put over working animals, over their necks, so that they can pull a plow or it can be when you watched Disney's there were small bees that annoyed Donald Duck, and when they always when little bumblebees were getting honey, they had these yoke over their shoulders. Probably not important, but that you put something like water or something from a well. Now you understand. Perfect. That's a yoke. A yoke is nothing that removes the burdens, but it makes it easier to do. Or, right? It doesn't remove the burdens, but it makes it easier to carry them. So take my yoke. Jesus also says to take our crosses and follow him. What is a cross? You know, it's connected with discipleship. And learn from me, Jesus says. Learn from me. When Jesus comes to us and says, follow me, it is, amongst other things, to sit at his feet and allow us to learn from him. All of this talks about discipleship. And here where I'm going to make a point that I did 2 weeks ago, but it's an important point. That Christian life doesn't say that you're not forbidden from anything. Christian life is about that you should do it in God's power, that his mercy is not about just forgiveness. But Paul says that God's mercy has done work in me. I worked more than most, Paul said, but it's not God. It's not I who have worked, it's God who's done work through me. God's mercy is not about just forgiveness. It's about that as well, and it's amazing, but it's also about God's capability to do things through us that we are not capable of in ourselves. God's way of leading us. God's ability to do what is impossible for us, because we believe as Christians that God lives in us. So, that was it. A deeper rest, a deeper peace that Jesus wished to give, a foundation of peace that he can give. And it's about a rest to not try to give ourselves justification so that God can work through us, so we can serve in his kingdom and each other. And it is a mercy of the rest that Jesus talks about, that is not different from discipleship, but it is integrated and connected to discipleship. To be and to become a Christian is all mercy, but you cannot take away the call to follow and to make others into fellowships, into that fellowship. I've thought about this, that God is calling for radical discipleship, but it's not about that you're supposed to go to Africa and huge meetings or go out and pray for the ill, for illnesses, because it's radical for Jesus. But a lot of it is a lot more radical than that, because it's everyday discipleship. It's everyday discipleship that we are not congratulated for. It's about kindness to your neighbors. Do you understand? It's like, it's the generosity you give in every single day, in the details in your life, to follow him, to be a disciple of him. And in one way, that is harder, but a lot more freeing. And like I said, the most important is this ground, base, rest and peace. When everything else is there, you can build upon that. Amen. Now we're going to pray.